Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Gravitate Coworking, a community of entrepreneurs, freelancers, and remote workers who believe that life is better when you work together. Learn more at gravitatecoworking.com/IPR. Gravitate Coworking. Find your tribe.
And we're back with more of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. We regularly extend invitations to all members of Iowa's congressional delegation to come on the show a couple times a year to hear their views on the top issues at that time and have them answer your questions. Our guest this half hour, U.S. Senator Charles Grassley, returning to our program, been Iowa's senator since 1981, currently in his seventh term, and as of this year, the most senior Republican in the U.S. Senate, and as of this year, President pro tem of the U.S. Senate. U.S. Senator Charles Grassley joins us from the Capitol building, a studio there. Senator Grassley, welcome to the program.
Thank you for your kind introduction, and I'm glad to be with you.
I want to reach out to the listeners, as many questions from our listeners as we have time for. Of course, we know from past experience that time flies by quickly, but we'll try to get to some of those questions. 1-866-780-9100. 1-866-780-9100. River to River at iowapublicradio.org. Senator, you chaired a recent discussion with the CEOs of seven major pharmaceutical companies. They were actually grilled from both sides of the aisle over the high price of prescription drug prices as a drain on Medicare, Medicaid, and a burden to so many Americans, so many Iowans listening. Americans pay some of the highest prescription drug prices in the world. What action are you taking after this hearing to reduce these prices for us?
Well, not directly from the hearing, but three bills that I have in already, and some of these come, two of these bills come in the Judiciary Committee I sit on, but one would do away with the pay-for-delay scheme that Big Pharma has with some generics, where when a patent runs out and the generic ought to get on the market, the company pays the generic X number of dollars to keep their drug off the market for a shorter, long period of time. And so the price of the patent drug stays higher, even though the patent runs out. The other one, it goes by the acronym CREATES, and it would facilitate generic companies getting information from the company that researched the patent drug. The patent runs out. If they can get this information sooner, and this bill would put in place a process so if they're challenged on it, they could go to court and get the information. But then they could submit that information to the FDA and get the generic on the market much faster. And then another one by Senator Wyden and me. By the way, the first bill I mentioned is bipartisan Klobuchar-Grassley. The other one is bipartisan Leahy-Grassley. And this next one is Wyden Grassley, or maybe I should say Grassley first, but regardless, it would make sure that HHS is policing properly the things that they police rebates, and they didn't do a good job when EpiPen shot up from $100 to $700, and so this bill would make sure that Health and Human Services does their job of policing rebates and also give us a chance to get back the money that companies like Mylan to the tune of $1.2 billion stole from the taxpayers. Mm-hmm. And then the other one is just not by law, but, you know, Senator Wyden and I sent letters to the three companies that make insulin for diabetes. And why is that shot up so high? And part of it is there's no generic on the market, but this shouldn't even be an issue because insulin's been around for 80 to 100 years. So how do you get patents and high prices as a result of it? It's got something to do with the syringe that you injected into you. So anyway, we sent letters wanting to justify the high cost of insulin. And Monday, even without answering our letter, Eli Lilly put a generic on the market, which will be far cheaper for insulin.
Mm-hmm. Ian on our Facebook page is interested in this topic, Senator. He actually he calls it a sham that you say you are taking on the drug companies. He points to you receiving the most, he says, the most money of anyone in Congress from pharmaceutical companies. Yeah. He wants to know, just let me finish the question. This is from Ian. I want to know why he thinks asking them to be transparent about pricing with no regulation on pricing will do anything to lower the profiteering they commit. And we did some fact-checking here. You have, in your time since 2007, received about $258,000 in contributions, campaign contributions, from pharmaceutical companies.
Well, then let me ask you, how could you get this accusation that you just read? And I'm not disputing any facts, but I was recently named the most effective lawmaker, not by my measure. It was a nonpartisan analysis by Vanderbilt University professor and a University of Virginia professor. And by that, should tell you that I, as one senator, lead by example and isn't going to be influenced by what that question implies.
Mm-hmm. So, I guess the question for most of us who are not in Congress is how do you get $250,000 from a donor and have it not influence you?
Very easily. There's two things that apply to me when I take campaign contributions. Number one, as it should be, is it legal? Number two, are there any strings attached? And there's no strings attached, or I wouldn't be taking the money.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to an email from Sharon in Decorah. Sharon writes, I lost a son to heroin. I would like Senator Grassley to address the opioid crisis, Big Pharma, and the FDA. What can be done to rein this crisis in? How does he feel about Elizabeth Warren's and Elijah Cummings' CARE Act, which will be reintroduced again soon? This is a CARE Act, a bill that authorizes $100 billion over 10 years to combat drug addiction.
Okay. Well, first, there was the CARE Act that came out of my committee, 2015 or 16. That was the first step to deal with it, and it had $945 million in it, I believe. The other one was, last year, there were 9 separate pieces of legislation that passed as a package, anti-opioid epidemic sort of an approach. 9 different bills, but 6 or 7 of those came out of my Judiciary Committee, and they all came out unanimously. Mm-hmm. Access to Increased Drug Disposal Act of 2018, Opioid Quota Reform Act, the Substance Abuse Prevention Act, the Preventing Drug Diversion Act of 2018, Synthetic Abuse and Labeling of Toxic Substance Act of 2017, and Using Data to Prevent Opioid Diversion Act of 2018.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's move on to another big issue in the news lately. It looks as though the Senate will vote to block Donald Trump's national emergency declaration to build a wall on the U.S. southern border. It looks like forcing the president to issue his first veto of his presidency. At least 4 of your Republican colleagues in the Senate, Senator Grassley, Rand Paul, Lisa Murkowski, Tom Tillis, Susan Collins of Maine, have said they'll be joining the Democrats in voting to disapprove the president's declaration. And that gets him to these billions of dollars that he wants for border security in the way that he wants it. In the days ahead, you'll be required, the Senate will be required to vote on this resolution, already approved by Democrats in the House, to terminate the president's executive action. Have you decided how you will vote?
For the last week, I've been telling all the media in Washington, D.C., and a few media in Iowa the same thing that I'm telling you. I'm leaning no on the motion of disapproval, but...
Why?
Well, because there's attempts being made. Well, number one, to wait until the Armed Services Committee issues a report on the bill. Number two, there's 3 or 4 very significant efforts, maybe not 3 or 4 significant efforts, but 3 or 4 people are trying to find alternatives to the resolution of disapproval. And I'm waiting until I see what they have come up with, if anything.
That's what you're hoping for. That would be your first. If there was a good alternative, you'd go for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
But also, I want to tell you, you legitimately, and I would say you're right in pointing the finger at the president, and members of Congress are, including sometimes I do. But we really need to point the effort towards ourselves, because this congressional power, or this presidential power, comes under an act that Congress passed in 1976 that's been used 49 times.
But that gives the president
the authority to do this, and I want to recoup some of that power. So I'm joining Senator Lee in a bill he's going to introduce to rewrite that legislation so the president doesn't have this much authority in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Teresa on our Facebook page, Senator, points to a Quinnipiac poll, maybe you saw it, released yesterday, finding that 66% of Americans do not back the president's use of emergency powers to fund the wall. She asks, how do you answer not representing the desires of the American people?
Yeah. Well, maybe people, the 76% of the people don't see, as I do, the number one responsibility of the federal government is protecting the American people. Mm-hmm. National security and border security go hand in hand, particularly when you have sex traffickers, human traffickers. You're getting fentanyl and all these other drugs across the country, and across the border, they're killing Americans, and you're getting criminal elements coming in and MS-13 elements coming in, and we got to do what we can to keep those elements out of our country.
Right,
besides, it's illegal to come to our country,
right?
Without papers.
But we know from experts that a wall, a physical barrier, there are better ways to do the things that we all do not want to happen, which you listed, than a physical wall, which the president wants to do, right? And Congress weighed in on this.
Well, you said all. Let me say how wrong it is for you to say all. Two Democrats and two Republicans, presidents have supported building 654 miles of wall,
mm-hmm.
as recently as 2013, 68 members of the Congress voted for 700 miles or more wall and $34 billion to fund it. So you can't say that all say a wall's no good, because we already have a wall, and some of that wall's been up since 1993, I believe. And so what you have to have, a wall isn't entirely border security. It just helps funnel people into areas where you can control their entrance easier. But also, you've got to have wall. You've got to have electronic surveillance. You've got to have more border patrol. You've got to have interior enforcement. You've got to have an exit entrance system at our airports. And, in fact, half of the people that are illegally in the country came here and overstayed their visas. So if we can have a thumbprint or other digital memory of people who come to the country, they're supposed to be here for 60 days, then you know whether they left the country or not. So mm-hmm. we need all of those things in order to make sure that we control our border.
U.S. Senator Charles Grassley joining us live from the Capitol building in Washington today. He stepped into a small studio there. We're so glad to have him on as he comes on regularly on this program to answer your questions. Let's make sure we address at the beginning of the week, Senator Grassley, the House Judiciary Committee launching this broad investigation into the president's inner circle of targeting figures who have worked in his administration and for his businesses. They're looking into whether the president obstructed justice, potential corruption, possible misuse of office for personal gain. Let me ask, is what House Democrats are doing, in your view, appropriate?
When I say probably not, remember my very positive and forthright recognition of being a person who not only respects congressional oversight, but I'm probably in the forefront of doing congressional oversight. So I would look at it this way. I think oversight is basically a congressional responsibility under the Constitution once you pass a law to make sure the administration faithfully executes that law. I see the House, in this instance, being more politically involved, casting a dragnet to find anything that they could do to take down Donald Trump. I think it's plowing old ground comparing to the fact of what Mueller is already doing. And they've made it very clear that they're starting with conclusions and fishing for facts. And Congress can recommend things for criminal investigation, but that's an executive branch responsibility. Mm-hmm. Congress does not conduct criminal investigations.
Senator Grassley, do you believe the president at this point in time is completely innocent of all these accusations?
I'm going to leave that up to prosecutors to make a determination, and I'll bet we'll know in about 2 weeks when the Mueller report comes out. And by the way, I've been asked about for 2 years if I thought Mueller ought to be able to finish his work, and I've always said consistently that Mueller's an honorable man and he ought to be able to finish his work, and thank God now he's within just a way he's close to doing it. Mm-hmm. And then don't forget that I've out of my committee came a bill to guarantee a process if the president fired him. And I've told the president he shouldn't fire him, but we put a bill out saying under certain circumstances, if the president did fire him, to put a check on that.
Okay.
Another thing is I have a bill in with Blumenthal, another Democrat, to make sure that not only this Mueller report is made public, but that that all future special counsel reports are made public. After all, I mean, there may, for national security reasons or privacy, there may be some of it redacted, but when we spend $25 to $30 million for an investigation, the American public ought to know what was done with that $25 or $30 million.
Donald Trump has suggested that the White House might not cooperate with the expansive document request by the House Democrats. Do you think the president should cooperate with all the requests for these investigations?
I think he should respond to anything that deals with policy of the president of the United States. Beyond that, I can't make any determination. I'm going to let the lawyers make that determination.
So are you ruling out business documents related to his business?
If it's got anything to do with his policy, I think they ought to turn it over. If it's just a fishing expedition to see if they can find something wrong that wouldn't otherwise be made public, I think you got to trust the Southern District of New York that's already investigating all this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Let me get your opinion on the Green New Deal. It's a House resolution. I'm sure it's been all the talk of the town there, Senator Grassley. Calls upon the federal government to enact legislation that creates new jobs, spurs investment in infrastructure, and enacts new environmental regulations. Where do you stand on the aspirations of the Green New Deal?
Well, that part of it that deals with energy, almost 100% behind it, because I've been in the forefront of alternative energy. I'm the father of the wind energy tax credit. As you know, in Iowa, we get 38% of our electricity from wind. Right. I've been in the forefront of the biofuels movement, been in the forefront, well, I can't say quite in the forefront of the solar movement, mm-hmm. but I'm for all sorts of alternative energy, and we're going to be moving in that direction, but we can't get there as fast as they say we should by 2030.
Mm-hmm. So you say to those who believe, and climate scientists included, that our planet is and humankind is in grave peril, drastic action has to be taken. Don't we need this kind of drastic action? That's what they say.
Yeah. Then my answer to that is, let's just, in the United States, continue to do what we've been doing. We've reduced greenhouse gas down to the 1992 levels. We're better now than even Europe is. Europe's plateaued here recently. And we got to get, and we're setting a good example for the rest of the world. And we got to get China, India, Indonesia, and Brazil to do what we've doing. And we'll very, very quickly bring this under control.
Let me end with one last email question from Roger, one of our listeners. Roger writes, what happened to the financially conservative Senator Grassley? You were always raising the question of how are we going to pay for this? You have now voted for the tax cut, which the Office of Budget and Management says will create a huge deficit that will never be covered by tax income. Have you changed your philosophy since Trump became president? Asks Roger.
No, I'm glad to say no, I haven't.
Okay, so what about we saw we have a trade deficit, the largest in U.S. history, which is also being blamed on many things, but also the president's $1.5 trillion tax cut and the trade war with China.
No, just the opposite.
Okay, explain that,
You don't want to measure our economy by the trade deficit. What you want to do is you want to see some of the programs of the of this president being very successful, like deregulation, the tax cut, bringing more money into the pockets of our consumers, putting more money into capital, particularly through small business. And then in the end, the American consumer has more. It drives the dollar up. Imports are cheaper. Our consumers have more money to spend. They're importing more, and that's why the deficit's worse. And add to that the fact that China imports a lot of our stuff. 1.5 billion people over there import a lot of our stuff, and their economy's down, and they aren't buying as much from us. And that would just naturally add up to our trade deficit enlarging. But also, you got to remember that you've got to balance a deficit in trade with a very positive balance that comes in investment in the United States from overseas.
Okay, Senator Grassley, we've run out of time. One last question. Can you do something about the winter weather here in Iowa?
If I did, we'd screw it up.
Thank you very much. Charles Grassley joining us from the Capitol Building in Washington. We appreciate it, Senator. River to River is produced by Emily Woodbury, Caitlin Harrop, and Lindsay Moon. Help today also from Camus Leeson. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Tomorrow, we'll have a News Buzz edition for you. Hope you'll tune in. Thanks for joining us.